Later still, Doug Hansen arrived atop the step, another member of our expedition. Doug was a postal worker from a Seattle suburb who'd become my closest friend on the mountain. "It's in the bag," I yelled over the wind, trying to sound more upbeat than I felt. At the very end of the line was Scott Fisher, whom I knew casually from Seattle, where we both lived. Fisher's strength and drive were legendary. In 1994, he'd climbed Everest without using bottled oxygen, so I was surprised at how slowly he was moving and how hammered he looked when he pulled his mask aside to say hello. "Bruce," he wheezed with forced cheer, employing his trademark frat boyish greeting. When I asked how he was doing, Fisher insisted that he was feeling fine. "Just dragging ass a little today for some reason. No big deal." With the Hillary step finally clear, I clipped into the strand of orange rope, swung quickly around Fisher as he slumped over his ice axe, and rappelled over the edge. By now, the tendrils of mist were streaming over the 27,923-foot top of Lhotse and lapping at Everest's summit pyramid. No longer did the weather look so benign. I grabbed a fresh oxygen cylinder, jammed it into my regulator, and hurried down into the gathering cloud. Moments after I dropped below the south summit, it began to snow lightly and visibility went to hell. 400 vertical feet above, where the summit was still washed in bright sunlight under an immaculate cobalt sky, my compadres dallied to memorialize their arrival at the apex of the planet, unfurling flags and snapping photos, using up precious ticks of the clock. None of them imagined that a horrible ordeal was drawing nigh. Nobody suspected that by the end of that long day, every minute would matter.